This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
A 14-year-old girl had a man's name tattooed on her ring finger. Not a friendship bracelet, not a note in a locker. A permanent tattoo. David. And the shh. Yeah. She traveled with him to Las Vegas, London, and Texas. She spent weekends at his Hollywood Hills home. She was in seventh grade when the relationship allegedly started. And every adult in her orbit, her parents, two sheriff's departments, and an entire music industry that surrounded this glob of rejected human DNA known as David had at least a piece of this in front of them. Not one of them did a damn thing. Her name was Celeste Rivas Hernandez. The man, according to prosecutors, was David Burke, a platinum-selling recording artist who goes by David. Their filing says they made contact originally back in January 2022. She was 11. He was 17. Prosecutors allege an illegal relationship began in November of 2023 when she was 13 and he was 18. Over the following year, she spent what prosecutors describe as significant time with him. Summer weekends at his rental in the Hollywood Hills, Las Vegas, London, Texas, where she met his family. And she's a child. This is a three-part series about every person in every system that had a chance to stop it and didn't. And I'd love to get your thoughts in the comments section as we work our way through where we are at in the David case and how we got here. Celeste was reported missing from her Lake Elsinore home by three separate times in early 2024, February 15th, March 19th, and April 5th. Three reports filed with the Riverside County Sheriff's Department. Three times she vanished. Three times she came back. Three times the system marked it resolved and then just moved on. But it was the first report, February, that could have changed everything, because after that report, law enforcement had every piece of information they needed. They just didn't use any of it. Deputies pulled Celeste's phone records and found Burke's number. They called him on February 17th. He had said he'd last spoken with her a few days earlier. He had said he had no idea she was a minor. No idea. No clue. No idea. Same day, Riverside County requested a welfare check at Burke's West Hollywood home through L.A. County. Deputies knocked on his door. Burke showed up, showed him a yearbook photo of Celeste stored on his phone, told them he'd only met her once in November of 23. Deputies informed him to his face that this girl was 13 years old and a runaway. Then they left. That's it. They left. No investigation opened, no follow-up visit, no attempt to verify a single word he said. Nobody ran his name, nobody Googled it, which would have shown them in about 4 seconds if they were talking to a signed recording artist with millions of followers. Hell, you might even find her in a photo or two on social media with him. An adult man had a 13-year-old runaway school photo saved on his phone, lied to their faces about the relationship, and two sheriff's departments treated it like, yeah, it's a noise complaint, just keep it down. All right, you got it. You got it, guys. Have a good one. That is the moment. If one deputy asks one question, why does this guy have a seventh grader's yearbook photo on his phone? It's not his daughter or related to him. Like, okay. If one deputy just asks that question, we're not here talking about it now. Celeste came home 2 days later. Her parents took her phone. She was reported missing again, March 19th and again on April 5th, three times in under 2 months. A 13-year-old girl vanishing repeatedly is not a closed case. It's a siren And deputies already had the name, the number, and the home address of the adult on the other end of her phone records. They'd been inside his home. They told him her age, and nothing happened. According to prosecutors, after the first report, Burke drove to Lake Elsinore and paid one of Celeste's junior high classmates $1,000 to hand her a new phone that he'd bought for her. $1,000 just to give her. He gives $1,000 to a child in her class. So you could keep talking to a 13-year-old whose parents had just cut off contact. That's some clever encrypted workaround. He allegedly drove to her town, found a kid in her school, and handed over cash, and it worked. The line reopened immediately. What followed was a full year of access that nobody question. Prosecutors say Celeste spent weekends at Burke's Hollywood Hill home through 2024. She went to Vegas. She went to London. She went to Texas, where she met his family. Think about what it takes. Somebody booked those flights. Somebody checked into those hotels. A 13-year-old girl was walking through airports, sitting in ride chairs, sleeping in a grown man's home for days at a time. Not a single person in that chain, not the TSA, not a hotel at a front desk, not a car rental counter, flagged anything. The commercial infrastructure that moves people across borders had this child passing through it regularly and did not blink. And this wasn't a nobody. This was a signed artist with a label behind him, a touring operation, a management team, social media headliners, an entourage. There were people around David Burke, whose literal job was to manage his schedule and his image. A 13-year-old girl was a regular presence in his life, and either the people whose business it was to know everything about his business didn't know, or they knew and said nothing. Neither answer is acceptable. His own family met her. They had a young girl in their home. They were later subpoenaed by Los Angeles grand jury to talk about what they knew. The response was to hire lawyers in Texas and fight the subpoena. That comes up in part three. The tattoos. On both their index fingers. David on her ring finger. Permanent ink on a child's hand, visible to anyone who bothered to look. Nobody at her school noticed. Nobody in her family asked why a seventh grader had a man's name on her ring finger. Nobody at a tattoo parlor stopped to wonder whether a young teenager should be walking in and getting a grown man's name etched permanently onto her skin. Maybe they saw it. Maybe they just didn't want to ask. Maybe they just wanted the money. Maybe he was too much of a payday to not ask more questions. Celeste's brother Matthew told reporters she'd been heading to see a movie with Burke the night she disappeared. The family knew it was David. Her mother told reporters her daughter had a boyfriend named David. They had partial knowledge. Whether they grasped the full scope is a question nobody outside that family can really answer. But here's what's not debatable. The family knew the name. Law enforcement knew the name. Phone records connected the name to the number. The number connected to an address where deputies had already stood in the doorway. Two systems had overlapping pieces of the same picture, and neither one put them together. A text recovered by prosecutors from Celeste's phone laid it out in her own words. She told Burke the relationship was just the same thing over and over, and she wanted more for herself. A 14-year-old girl recognizing that she was being used before any adult around her did. She was the clearest voice in this entire story, and according to prosecutors, when she finally threatened to say it publicly, to expose the relationship, to blow up his career, well, that's what allegedly got her killed. This part of the story is not about David. It's about the space around Celeste that was supposed to be filled with adults who gave a damn. Deputies who had a name, a number, and an address, and left it at a welfare check. Parents who knew about a David but didn't see the whole picture, a school system, airlines, hotels, a tattoo parlor, the music industry apparatus that wraps around every touring artist in this country, all of it running normally while the child disappeared into an adult's world. I guess maybe that's just how it's always run. And not one person in any of those systems had the curiosity or the nerve to ask a question. Celeste Rivas Hernandez deserved better from every adult in this story. In part two, we're going to get to what prosecutors say happened when the last person she trusted allegedly turned on her, and the digital paper trail he allegedly built with his own hands That is so stupid. It borders on unbelievable. That's coming up next as we review the David saga and where we are at today and how we got here. Your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. I'd love for you to weigh in. We'll continue the conversation right there. Until next time, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.